We begin the current daf, Masechtas Gittin, daf Lamed. We begin three lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had in the Mishnah, in the previous daf, a halacha when, if there's a shliach that's bringing a get, and then, as he's on his mission, he becomes ill, and he cannot continue further. So Rav Kahana qualified that halacha is specifically becoming sick, which is considered an oinus, where he has no other alternative, he can't make it there. Then he could go ahead and create another shliach to finish off his mission and deliver it to the woman. If not, he cannot. Now, related to that, the Gemara continues and says regarding, in general, how Einus plays a role regarding the actualization of a get, specifically in the conditions of a get, where a husband is going to divorce his wife, but he makes a condition attached to that, and then because of an Einus, that condition is not met, what are the halachic ramifications in regards to getting? So the Gemara tells us, Hahuda Amar, there was a certain individual that said, Eloi asina atlasin yoimin lahavegit. He says, look, if I don't come back within 30 days, then this will be a valid get and she'll be divorced. Now, asa upaski mavu. What happened was is that he really didn't want it to be a get. So he came, and what happened is that the ferry had already left. He couldn't get over the water to get back within 30 days. So Amalahu, he said to them on the other side of the river, chazu da soy, look, I came, you see, I really want to come. It's just because of an oinus that I can't get across the river, but you see, I wanted to make it back. Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Lo yishmei masya, it's not considered like as if he came until he actually comes here. Now, what that tells us is that there's no claim of oinus by conditions of getting to say, it was an oinus, I couldn't get across, it doesn't make a difference. Although it was an oinus, but you didn't come, so there's no tying of oinus by getting, and since you didn't fulfill the condition, it's a valid get. That's one approach. Another interpretation in Rashi is even if you would say that there is what's called yesh oinus begin, a person could generally claim that it was an oinus that held them back of fulfilling the condition, hence it would not be a valid get. This case is different, as the Gemara explains elsewhere, because this is what's called an oinus de shchiach. It's a common oinus, meaning you should have taken into consideration you might miss the train, the boat. These are things that are not beyond the person's control, because you should have known the scheduling it, and therefore that shouldn't have been part of your conditions. The contingency should have included that depending if I'm going to miss the boat or not. And since you didn't, it's not considered a valid oinus. So even though generally yesh oinus begin, still this case Shmuel said, you didn't come, it's not a valid oinus, and therefore it's going to be a get. Similarly, the Gemara says, Hahuda amalahu. There was someone that said to the people around, Eloi fayasnu la'atlos in yoyim l'havigita. If I don't appease my wife within the next 30 days, then this will be a get from now, and that will, he gave over the get right now on this condition that if I don't appease her, it's going to be a get. Now, Azal Paisa, he went, and he appeased her, he tried making up with her, telling her certain words, having friends go over to her, and to try to convince her to maintain the marriage. The lawyer Faisa, but she wasn't appeased, she didn't want to make up with him, she was done with him, she doesn't want to continue this relationship. So Amr Abiyasir commented, he says, Miyohav lo tarkava de dinri v'loya faisa. Did he give her 3 dinarim and she wasn't appeased? In other words, since he didn't go all the way, he didn't really appease her. Now, although he doesn't have that much money to give her, we don't say that that's considered, quote, an oinus, because, at least in this interpretation, Rabbi Yosef holds, that a person cannot claim a claim of oinus by conditions of get, and therefore it's going to be a get. So again, in that previous incident, there was actually 2 interpretations of Rashi in that halach of Shmuel, if he holds ein oinus begitten or yesh oinus begitten. In this first version of Rav Yosef, it's that he holds that there's no tain of oinus begitten. Although yes, it's an oinus, I couldn't afford a beautiful car and a beautiful house and different things to appease her, it doesn't make a difference. If you would have gotten those things, she would have been appeased, and you didn't, so you didn't really appease her. So therefore, although you said that if you're not going to appease her, it's going to be a get, but seemingly if you appease her, it's not going to be a get, that's not called appeased, because appeasing would have been going all the way. Now, although you can't, that's an oinus, and there's no time of oinus by getting. Ikudami, those say a different version. Amr Abiyasav said, Midi takrava de dinri boy lemezavla. What, you think he has to go ahead and buy her a fancy car, buy her whatever, meaning 3 dinarim? He doesn't have that, and therefore it's considered an oinus. And therefore, Hapaisa, he did appease her with whatever he had the ability. He went over to her, spoke to her, had friends come over to her, try to convince her. V'lo yafaisa, and she wasn't appeased. And therefore, it's not going to be a get. And the reason being is because he did appease her whatever he could. Now, although there's higher levels of appeasement, those are einus. And there is a claim of yesh einus begitten, and therefore it's considered like he did appease, and therefore it's not going to be a get. So the Gemara explains, ha, this last version of Rabbi Yisrael's command on a yesh einus begitten, who holds that there is a claim of einus begitten, which means to say, like, if you make a condition regarding the get going into effect, and you couldn't fulfill that condition because of an einus, then that's a valid taina, and it's not considered a valid get. Ha, the first version of Rabbi Yisrael is command the Amma ain einus begitten. It's like the one who holds that there is no claim of einus begitten, which this is a machlik, is two different versions, which are going according to what Rava says in Maseches Ksubis in the first halachas over there, which is this whole discussion, do you say yesh einus begitten or ain einus begitten? Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the Mishnah and Daf Chav Ches, which speaks about this halachic component of chazaka, which is that we maintain the status quo based on the presumptive state that it was up until now, until we know otherwise. So the Mishnah says, Hamal v'mois, if someone lends money, as a kohen to a kohen, or ves a levi to a levi, or ves ani to a poor person. Now, there was something added about this loan. Liyis mafrish aleyin mechelkan. The condition of the loan was that when this lender is going to finish his whole produce of his fields, and he's going to have to separate, like every person has to separate, his trumais and maestras, what he's going to do, he's going to separate from their portion for himself. In other words, he's going to take the truma that he's separating, he's going to sell that truma, and the money from those proceeds he's going to hold on to for himself for payment for the loan that he made to the kohen. So too regarding maestro rishon, he has to take a tenth of his produce that he has because of the levi, he holds on to it. So to maestro ani, because of the poor person, he holds on to it himself, and he eats it. The only thing is that, let's say, the Maisa Rishon that he holds on from the Levi, that tithe that he's going to keep for himself, he would have to separate what's called Trumas Maisa, which is a tenth of that tenth, which he has to give to a Kayin, just so it's going to be permitted to a non-Kayin like himself. Now, but since there's no theft over here, because this monies he already gave as a loan to the Kayin, so therefore at the time of the loan, he's making up that money that you owe me, I will keep instead, you won't have to pay me back, my Truma, I'll sell to someone else, and that money I'll keep for myself. So on that is what the Mishnah tells us, Mafresh aleihen b'cheska shein kayamin. You could do that, meaning if the loan was 6 months ago, now finally you're finishing off the produce of your field, it's in the granary, and you're taking off the trumas, you can go ahead and keep the monies of the trumas with the presumption that that coin is still alive. You don't have to be concerned that maybe the coin died, and therefore, as we'll see, then you wouldn't be able to go ahead and hold on to that truma. You don't have to assume that the levi died, or yesh ani. You don't have to assume that maybe the poor person became wealthy, which then it also wouldn't apply this approach that was made up. You don't have to assume it. You could assume that he's still alive, and therefore you could go ahead, just when you're doing the trumas and maises, you can keep the money, you can keep the proceeds of those trumas and maises. But, as the Mishnah says, mesur, let's say they did die. The chazaka tells you don't have to think that they died, but let's say they died. So there was this loan, and you said, look, Mr. Kain, you're not going to have to pay me back. Don't worry. I'll take the proceeds of my trumas. I'll hold on to that. But let's say before one goes ahead and takes over his trumas, the Kain dies. Then, tzorach litil reshus mina yershin. Then you have to take permission from that Kain, or Levi, whichever case, the Ani, from his inheritors. The reason being is because this loan is not incumbent upon them to pay it up. Because, as we said, that even they didn't have to pay it up. He said, don't worry, don't pay it up, I'll take from the trumas and maestras. So therefore, he has to take permission from them if they want to accept the father's loan, the obligation that he had to him, could he hold on to the trumas and maestras that he would have done with their father? Can he do the same with them? Because essentially, they take his place, there is his inheritors. Really, he owes that balabais money. Just that person said, don't worry, you won't have to pay me, I'll just hold on to trumas and maestras. Now the sons, he has to have explicit permission, because really they don't have to pay, but would you be willing to take your father's place, that the money that he owes me, that I'll take from Trumas and Maestras, you're also his son, can you do the same thing for me and extend that I'll be able to take the Trumas and Maestras as your inheritors of him, instead of the money that I said he won't have to pay me back. Now, however, the Mishnah ends off, but im hilvim b'fnei bazin, if the original loan took place in front of the courts, then ainet tzarach litil reshus mina yershin, then you don't have to even take permission to exercise this withholding of trumas and maestras for the self, for the payment of the loan that you've done. You don't have to do that to take permission from the inheritors. And the reason being is because the courts have the authority to create this debt, this loan, on all of the Kohanim and all of the Shevet Levi, and the reason being is because it's in their best interest that the courts could do something like this, because if a Kohen needs a loan or a Levi needs a loan, and they don't necessarily, or Ani, they don't have a lot of money, these people, they don't have their own fields, and an Ani is a poor person, so they want to be able to get loans. So the guy's going to say, I'm going to lend you money, how do I know I'm going to get it back? But if he could do this procedure of knowing that he's going to be able to just take it off from his own Trumas and Maisis, and he won't have to give it to someone else, he could hold on to it, so like, okay, I'll be able to get my money back. So the courts have that authority to say, okay, you know what? If you're doing the loan in the presence of the courts, it's on all the Kahanim. So you don't need permission from the inheritors. Truma goes to Kahanim. The courts say, look, every Kohen would be interested in allowing the Kahanim to have easy loans, and therefore any one of them that's taking a loan, if he dies, as long as you're doing this in court, you could hold on to it because all the Kahanim are letting you keep it. Because although it's only this Kohen, he's dead already, can't do this procedure with him, but all the Kahanim are in on this, and then he wouldn't have to take permission from the inheritors. Now the Gemara asks that, how does this work? As the Gemara asks, this would be even, meaning this procedure that we said that, okay, it works as a chazaka, but let's say you know he's alive. It would work even if you don't know. But the point is that we said that I'll lend you money, and instead of me giving you the trumas or the maestras or the maestra ani, I'll just hold on to it. So the Gemara wonders, does this work even though it never got to the kain or the levy or the ani's hands? But how does that work? The Mishnah says that he'll just be mafresh alein. He'll just separate it and hold on to it. But the Gemara wonders, how could it work without him giving it to him and then him giving it back to him? The problem is, if he never gave it to the kohen or to the levi, to the poor person, how does he ever merit this truma to consider it as the payment of the loan, but you never fulfilled your giving of the truma? There's an obligation for a non-kohen who has his field to give truma to the kohen, to give meiser to the levi, to give meiser ani to the ani. Now, although, yes, he owes you, so fine, but you have to first give it, and then he can give it back to you. How can you, as the mashmois, as the understanding of our Mishnah makes it sound like that, just mafresh lemechelka, and he could hold on to it? So the Gemara has a few approaches. Amar Rav, he says, b'makire kuhuna v'leviyah. What we're discussing is a category known as makire kuhuna, which that's based on like a pasuk in Malachim Beis says, ish me'es mekaray, mean to say that this Kayin and this Balabais are friends. They have a good relationship. Now, moreover is that this person, this homeowner, only gives his trumas and his maestras to this Kayin or to this Levi. Now, therefore, it's obvious that he's going to be giving it when he's going to be mafresh or trumas to this person. Hence, all of the Kahanim are what's called Masir Das. They already give up. They know it's not coming to them. So therefore, right when he separates Truma, it's like that Kohen already merited it. So therefore, says Rav, since he's Makiri, which is a word of like he recognizes him, meaning it's his friend, everyone knows he's going to get it. It's like he already has it, and therefore I don't even have to give it to you because like it's yours already. When I take it, I'm taking it back from you. That's how it works. Shmuel Amar, he says a different approach. He says, but mezaka lehem al yidei acherim. What we're talking about is that although it says in the Mishnah he's mafresh lein mechalka and he separates that truma from their part and keeps it for himself, but that's not the whole story. He also then gives over the maestris to a friend of his and he says, I want you to merit this for that levi. Then it's like it got to that person because it's a schus and you could be mezaka le'odam shlebefanam, and then that person goes ahead and gives it back to you. So very simply, it's like he got it because he gave it to someone else, merited for that person. Oh, this person owes me the money, now I'm going to take it back. Ulamar, he gives a third approach. He says, Hamani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? It's Rabbi Yosi. The Amar that he says, which is, he says this in many places in Shas, Asu eshe'ene zeicha kezeicha. That Chazal made a takana, they made someone that didn't really merit it as if he did merit it. Where, as Rashi brings many different times in Shas, like in, later on in Hanizakin, and also regarding the when there's a poor person that's pulling off olives from the top of a tree, or as we find by if a cheresh finds something, or as the Gemara says in Shnayim Oichsin, that someone hires a worker, then his son could go ahead and gather the gleanings after him, where although there really is no merit for a minor, but the sages made it as if he is zeich in it. And the reason for all these things were because of a takana to make it ideal in certain situations, So they were masakin as if the person was zaychid, although in halacha, strictly, there's no schus. So therefore says Ula that that's the same thing over here. Rabbi Yisi would say that although that guy, that kohen, that levi, that ani never really got it, but it's for practical purposes, they made it she'ena zaychid, although he was not married, as if he did merit it, and therefore it's like you fulfilled your nesina to the kohen, to the levi, to the ani. Now the Gemara explains why there's three different opinions. Kulu karav le amri, they all didn't say like Rav because b'makori le katani. The Mishnah doesn't say we're talking about just b'makiri kuna. And therefore it's not necessarily to say that, oh, that's why you don't have to give it because it's only him. It doesn't say it's talking about that case. Kishmul le kamri, they don't say it's like Shmuel, who says that you're mezaka to someone else because b'mezaka le katani. The Mishnah doesn't say that. It just says ma'afish le mechelka, and sounds like you could just hold on to it and you don't have to give it to someone else to merit it for him, to take it back from him. And ku'ula namil amri, they also don't say like ula, because kichido la mekminin would rather not establish a halacha like a das yach, like an individual tano, which is only like Rabbi Yitzi, because all the other tanoim disagree. They don't hold that you'll make someone that's not zeicha as if he was zeicha. Now the Gemara brings Tanban Lunda the following brisa that explains the halacha of our Mishnah. The brisa says, Hamava mois es a kain, ves a levi, ves a ani. If someone lends money to either a kain, a levi, or a poor person, liyas mafer shalein mechelkan. Two, instead of you paying me back, I'll just separate the truma and sell it, or let's say the mice is a simpler case, I'll just hold on to it myself. So then, and here the Braisa adds on more halachic components to the halacha of our Mishnah. So first of all, like our Mishnah said, mafresh alein mecheske shekayamen, you could separate the truma and meiser, even though it's, let's say, a few months later, with the assumption that the person's still alive. That is like our Mishnah said, continuation of the previous Mishnah is that the halacha of Chazaka says, it can maintain status quo. But now the Braisa adds on a few different halachas. Moreover, upaisiki mohin kishar hazoil. He could establish that the repayment of the produce that's in his own yard, in his own field, which is to pay off the loan that the kohen's taken from him, will be as the cheaper price. Meaning, if let's say by the time he's going to be separating his trumas and maises, which is a few months later after the loan was done, the price of wheat went down, then he's stipulating with the kohen that I'm going to take more produce, which is going to be according to the cheaper market value that it is at the time when I'm separating the trumas and maisers. Moreover, the imbay mishum ribbis. There's no halachic problem about ribbis, meaning because although generally when there is a loan and they're making up a price for the repayment, it can only be based on when there's already a market value that's already established. Here, when he's establishing at the time of the loan how much he's going to pay him back, that's even though they don't know the market value, what it's going to be at the time of the truma, of the hafrashas truma, which is a few months from now. Still, although generally we run into halachic problems of ribbis, here we're not concerned for that in the case of the loan to the kohen. Moreover, ve'in shvis misham tosai. Although generally the halacha is the shmita cancels all loans, in this case, it will not cancel the loan. Moreover, the imbolachzer, which the Gemara later is going to explain who's trying to retract. There's two parties over here. There's the kohen who took the loan, and then there's the balabais who, for the repayment, is going to take from his own trumas and maestras. So it says if he wants to retract, ein achayzer, he cannot retract. Another halacha is nisyayishu habaylim, if the homeowner gives up hope. In other words, for example, if this lender has a certain amount of truma that he was depending on to pay back the loan that he's lending to the kohen, and it was with that understanding that he loaned it for this year, but then he sees that his fields are totally deteriorating. The crop is not succeeding. And he gives up, he's like, oh, why'd I do this? I depended on lending the kohen that $1,000 I thought I'm going to get back. The truma is going to have at least $1,000. Now I say I'm not going to get even a quarter of this. And he says, oh, what's called vaylech hasar and kis, whoa, What a waste of money. And then actually what ends up happening is that the produce actually does end up succeeding. Says the Braisa, it doesn't make a difference. Ein mafer shalem. He can't anymore separate the trumas and maestras, which he's going to have to take off, to pay up the loan from the kohen or the levi. And the reason is, lefisha ein mafrishin ala ovid, because you cannot separate for the payment of the loan for something that's already a lost thing. Now, what does that mean? The lost thing is because once he's meyayish, once he gave up hope, it's considered a dover of it, a lost thing. And therefore, it's like that thing was canceled because you had already were meyayish from it. Therefore, you can't use it anymore as a payment when you're going to be separating your trumas and maestras at that later point in time. That's what the Braisa says. Now, Amamar, the master says to explain the different halachas of this Braisa. So the first halacha already we discussed in the Mishnah that's based on Chazaka. Then the next halacha said, Paisigi Moim Kishar Hazoil. So the Balabayas can make up with the Kayin saying, look, I'm lending you this amount of money. Now, this amount of wheat is that amount of money. But when I'm going to be separating Trumas and Mises a few months from now, the prices might have gone down. So then I'm going to collect even more wheat to make up for the amount of money that it is. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, pretty obvious. Because anytime a person makes a condition, if he wants to, when he's talking about repayment for the loan, that if he's going to do it according to the cheaper market value that's going to be, who's going to protest? The same thing is by any time a person makes conditions regarding produce for repayment of a loan, as the Gemara says in Ezu Neshachem Bamitzia Ayim Bezim Pays, that works. You can make that up. That's going to be based on the cheaper market value. So why? What's the chiddush by saying it over here in regards to this loan to the kain? So the Gemara says, "Oh, hakam hashem loan." The chiddush is because it's related to the next halacha of the Braisa. Because afal pish le pasak, even though he didn't set an amount, kamisha pasak dami. In other words, that you're right. Although generally, when a person establishes a price with the borrower, he could do it even according to the cheaper market value. But however, that's only if you make that up beforehand going in. Here the chiddush is that even if you didn't make up the amount, still that will be inherent in that condition, even if it wasn't mentioned, that it's going to be based at the time when you're going to be taking off the Trumas and Maases, even if it's down at a cheaper price, that's you're going to collect even more. So that's the chiddush in that. Now, moving on to the next halacha, which this is very much related to, we said ve'im bo mishum ribis, that there's no halachic problem about ribis, which the Gemara's question is, my timer. What's the reason for that? In other words, you should run into a halachic problem about ribis, because here you are, you're going to be getting more than what you're getting at the time that there's a loan, which is what ribis is. So that the Gemara answers, kivin dechi lesle, no. You're not running into ribis because this is very, very different than a regular loan. Because since if the guy wouldn't have, meaning if let's say his field wouldn't produce any trumas and maases that year, it would totally get wiped out, the field didn't succeed. Lo yohivle, then the borrower, the kain, wouldn't have to give him anything because that was what's called the upmach. That's what they made up beforehand. It says, look, I'm not going to collect from you. I'll collect from the trumas and maases that I would have given you that I'm not going to give you. But if he doesn't have from the produce, doesn't have to give him. So ki isle nami. So even when the kain does have, in other words, when there is trumas and maases that he's going to collect from him from, ein boi mishum ribis. So then there's no ribis. Now, moreover, what's added over here, as the Rishayim explain, because essentially this is like a sale, because it's regarding selling the trumas and maases that the kohen has over here that he's taking for payment of that what we're calling a loan. Now, but rabbinically, we usually say that's a problem. Here we're saying that even rabbinically, we're going to consider it as a full-fledged sale, where then you don't run into the halachic problems about ribis. So that's the chiddush that, even though that seemingly this should be at least a rabbinic ribis, we're saying that it's not, because it's not like a loan even in form, because a loan at least the guy has to pay up. Here he doesn't have to pay up if there's no trumas and maases, and therefore we totally consider it like a sale, which it is, but we kept it on the biblical law that there wouldn't be any problem about ribis. Then the Braisa said, "Ve'ein shvis misham tasli," that Shemitah does not cancel the debt. What's the reason for that? It's a loan. So that the Gemara explains, again, according to the same logic, to lo karina be lo yigais, because you can't qualify over here the pasuk, which is included in the parasha of Shemitah, canceling the debt, that it says that you can't go ahead and claim your money anymore from the borrower. Here that doesn't apply, because he wouldn't be able to claim it from him anyway, because he can't collect from him. He could only collect from the Trumas and Maases. Since it's not in the category of claiming of lo yigais, so therefore actually Shemitah doesn't cancel that, and you could continue to collect from the Trumas and Maases, from the produce, even after the year of Shemitah. Now, then the Braisa said, v'imbolachzer eino chayzer. Now, if he wants to retract, he can't retract anymore. So Amra Papa, he qualifies this halacha. He says, lo yishonu, we didn't learn that if he, doesn't say who he is, wants to retract, he can't retract. Says our Papa, that was only elabalabais. That's only if the homeowner, the lender, the one who has the field, if he wants to retract with Bekayin, with his what he had made up with the Kayin, he can't retract. Now, the reason for this is twofold, as Rashi explains, because first of all, the Kohen already has the money in his hand. And so I'm not going back on this. I already have the money. You already lent it to me. I already spent the money. Now, but moreover is that the Bala Bayis, he has nothing to do. There's usually two sides to a transaction, to an interaction. So one is that the Kohen took money. Now, what does the Bala Bayis get in return? So what he takes in return is Trumas HaMaisis, but at that point in time, before he actually gets the Trumas HaMaisis, there was nothing for him to draw. It was nothing for him to do Mashiach on, to be Kaina, to do his part of the transaction, because it's not around yet. It's going to be when the produce is finished in a few months from now. So therefore, although generally in the transaction, each party could withdraw until both of them do their part of the transaction, here the homeowner can't say, oh, loy mashachti, but I didn't do my part of the transaction. I didn't take the Trumas HaMaisis yet because it's not around. So of course, but whatever we had to do was done. Oh, it's done already, then you can't withdraw, you can't retract anymore. So Rav Papa says, well, that's only that way. It's only the Bala Bayis can't retract because it's all done. And he has his money, you didn't have anything to do Mashiach on, so it's done. Avol says, Rav Papa, but Kohen b'Bala Bayis, regarding the Kohen in regards to the Bala Bayis, im bo lachzer chaser, if he wants to retract, regarding this, what they agreed upon with the Bala Bayis, he could retract. Now the reason why is because for regarding him, we considered him as if he did merit. In other words, he could claim that you didn't draw the produce from me yet. In other words, there's still another part of the procedure over here of the transaction which wasn't done yet, which was you didn't take the Trumas HaMaisis. So although regarding the Bala Bayis, we don't say that, but the Kohen could claim that to the Bala Bayis and says, look, although I took the money, but you didn't do your part yet, I'm not interested in this procedure, take back your money. He could withdraw, and then the Bala Bayis is not going to be able to go ahead and take back what he had lent that guy from the Trumas HaMaisis. Ditnan, as the Gemara illustrates, is from a Mishnah Baba Metzia. The Mishnah there says, Nasan loy mois, if the purchaser, if the consumer gives money to the seller, which is one part of the transaction, but v'loy moshechei menu peiros, but the other part of the transaction, which is the seller giving him the produce, that he didn't do yet. He didn't take from him the produce yet. Says the Mishnah, Yochel Achzabai, anyone could still withdraw. Because again, as we said, because both parts of the transactions have to be done. So that's what Rav Papa is saying over here, where in regards to the Bala Bayis, we said everything is done. If everything is done, says you can't retract anymore. In regards to the Kohen, we say that he could say, no, not everything is done, because you didn't yet take the Trumas HaMaisis. So although I did half of the transaction, but the other half you didn't do yet, I took the money, but you didn't take the Trumas HaMaisis, I won out. And then the Bala Bayis can't say, no, I don't want to do it anymore, I want to take Trumas HaMaisis. The Kohen could withdraw from this procedure that he agreed to with the Bala Bayis. Now, then the Braisa said, Nesyayishu HaBailim, if the Bala Bayis, if this lender who has the field gave up hope of saying, oh, I'm not going to have to collect that loan anymore because here my field is going up in smoke, Ema for Shalein, even if the field ends up making it, he cannot separate that Trumas HaMaisis for himself to pay up the loan that he lent to the Kohen. Lafisha in mafishan alav, because you can't separate on something that was lost. It was lost already. You gave up. It's not considered a loan anymore. You can't collect anymore from the Trumas HaMaisis. So think about one is Peshitta. That seems to be pretty obvious. He was Mayayish. He gave up hope. What would we think that if it ends up turning around and producing, that he could collect with that? So the Gemara says, Loi Tzricha. No, it's necessary in the case of the Akun. The Akun is from the term of Kana, meaning at the time that it dried up, the crop, and they gave up hope, had already grown into stalks. Now, Ma'av de Tema, we would have thought to say, Aknasa Milsehi, that growing into stalks is something pretty significant. So therefore, if it only dried up once it was already in the stalk, then there is hope that it's going to turn around and end up producing a crop. And therefore, since it's not common that it's totally going to get ruined, the crop, when it was already turned into a kana, maybe we would have thought to say that although he gave up hope because he's a real pessimist, but that's not a full-fledged yish, because what are you talking about? There's a kana, of course he's going to make it. And therefore, then we would think that he would be able to collect from it even after he was, quote, miyayish. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush that we're teaching in the Braisa. No, once he gave up hope, even though you would think that what he being such a pessimist, it already grew into stalks, it doesn't make a difference. If he gave up, he gave up, and then you can't be mafrish and Allah of it. Even if it turns around, he can't collect his payment of the loan from his Trumas HaMaisis. Again, that was an elaboration, the brice of the halacha of our Mishnah regarding this interesting type of a loan with a kohen or a levi and ani, where he's not going to pay you back, but you're going to collect it from your own trumas and maestras. So related discussion, the Gemara brings, Tanya, we'll learn the brice. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, he says, Hamalva mois es a kohen ves a levi, same type of discussion, but as the end of the Mishnah had said, he lends the money to the kohen or to the levi, bebezdin, in court, umesu, and then the kohen or the levi die. So as the Mishnah told us, mafresh alein becheskes oisi hashev, but then you could separate it still with the chazaka, with the status quo that it applies to the whole shevet. Now the reason being is because that whole shevet are the relatives of that kohen and that levi, and they're fit to inherit him, meaning for whatever matanis were coming to him, if you're not giving it to him because he died, you would have to give it to us. Now, and so to olavim are zeiche in the maises. So therefore, if you're doing this transaction of the loan in court, you can hold on to the maises because of whoever the relatives of that levi were who would have gotten it. They are agreeing that you could hold on to it. So to vesa ani bebezdin mes. Let's say you do this procedure with lending money to a poor person in court and then he dies. Mafresh alein becheskes ani Yisrael. Then you could separate it with the chazaka of all the poor people in the Jewish people, which, as Rashi points out, here it doesn't say you could keep it for becheskes yershin, whoever the inheritors of that poor person is, because maybe the inheritors are actually not poor. Maybe they're wealthy. And therefore, you can't rely on the inheritors because inheritors don't get maaser ani. But with the chazak of all the other poor people, the Jewish people, you could separate and hold on to it. And the reason being is because this is a takana, this is something that poor people would prefer, because every poor person would want that there would be such a halach in the Jewish people so that the poor people could find people to borrow money from. So therefore, he could collect even from all the other poor people, and it's not considered stealing from the poor people, even though the guy he did it with died, and therefore he can't separate it to pay up that loan because that guy's dead, and you can't collect from a dead person. So therefore, it's considered but as if from all the other poor people. Now, Rabbi Achim, he says a slightly different version, not becheskes ani Yisrael. The words he uses, becheskes ani oilam. When that poor person dies, you could separate and keep it for yourself with the presumption of the status quo of all the poor people of the world. So the Gemara asks, my benai, what's the difference between calling it Ani Yisrael or Ani Olam? So as we can see on Talmud Beis, says the Gemara, Ike benai Ani Kutim. The difference is regarding poor people of that the sect called the Kutim, where the difference is if there's no Jewish Yisraelim that are paupers in his city, but there are Kutim that are poor, then he would have to separate them for the purpose of them and hold on to them, which is because they could also merit. And the reason being is because Kutim, at least according to this interpretation, are Geri Emes. They were full-fledged converts. They're considered like a regular Yisrael. So therefore, what this second opinion that says on the Ani Olam, meaning to say even if they're not Yisraelim, but as long as they're Kutim, which are considered like Jews, then they're poor people of the world. You could separate and hold on to it in their merit. Whereas according to the Tanakhama, he holds that, no, the Kutiyim were Geri Arroyas, meaning they were only converted because of fear, because they were being killed by lions, but they're not really considered full-fledged Jews. And therefore the Tanakhama holds you cannot separate and hold on to the Maiser Ani in the merit of the other poor people in the city, which are only Kutiyim, because they're not considered Jews. You could only hold on, as the Tanakhama's words are, Bishvil Aniye Yisrael. So therefore, as Rashi explains this, so you would have to separate it based on the Jewish people that are somewhere else. Because in this town, there's no people, there's no aniyim that collect maaser ani, because although there are katim that are aniyim, they're not considered Jewish for this halacha, and therefore you would have to have in mind for the aniyim of the Jewish people that are somewhere else in the world. That's what would be the difference about if you separated for the aniyim Yisrael or aniyim oilam, which are katim, if they're considered Jewish or not, to separate the maaser ani in their schos. But however, continues the Braisa and says, but if Hesher Ani, that was talking about if the Ani dies. But the Braisa says, if the poor person that took the loan becomes wealthy, then actually that's the worst off of the Balabais. Then Eimah for Shalav, then he would not be able to be separating the Meiser that I would give you the Ani, but now because you borrowed money from me, I'm going to hold on to it. You can't do that. Because now that you're separating Meiser Ani, he wouldn't be able to be getting because he's wealthy. So you can't separate it for him. And moreover, this borrower, who was originally poor, now is a wealthy guy, he gets to hold and keep that loan. He doesn't have to pay back from his own money because the loan was made on the condition that he's not going to pay back, he's not going to collect from him. He's going to collect from the Maaser Ani. But the problem is he can't collect from the Maaser Ani, which is owed to him by that person, because the whole thing is, instead of me giving it to you, I could hold on to it. But you can't give him, because now at this point, he's already a wealthy person. So therefore, there he actually loses the loan totally. Now the Gemara wonders, Rabbanan, the rabbis, Maishna lemisa d'avet akanta, why is it that when the poor person dies, so they found a way, and they said that, okay, it's okay, even though the guy died and you can't collect from him, and he wouldn't be getting your Maaser Ani, so therefore, seemingly you should lose your loan. They said, no, because all the Jewish people that are poor, they're willing to now take his place, and instead of giving them the money of Maaser Ani, you could hold on to it for the loan of their fellow poor person. So Maishna lashir is to leva takanta, and then why by wealth didn't they do the same thing? Why, when the poor person becomes wealthy, did Chazal say that now you can't separate it from the rest of the poor people? But when he dies, you could separate him. What's the difference? Why over there didn't they say the takana that we would want this person to be lending money, and he's concerned if the guy's going to become wealthy, he's not going to get his money back? So I think more answers misa shchicha, because death is something common. It happens. So therefore, that went into their design of this takana of the person who's lending the money. If he dies, okay, he'll be able to collect from other poor people, meaning he'll be able to hold on to it instead of giving it to them. Ashiris l'shchicha. Wealth is not a common thing. And therefore, they weren't concerned for that. They didn't suspect that what always is said, milsad l'shchicha l'gaza barabana, the rabbis did not put into their rabbinic injunctions regarding things that are not common. Therefore, they did not put that in place. If he's going to become wealthy, that, okay, it doesn't make a difference. It's a takana for all the poor people. They'll be willing that you hold on to it. It's not common. And therefore, if he actually becomes wealthy, he actually loses the loan. Now, Amr Papa, he makes a comment. He says, Haim da Amr Inchi, this is what people say. Chavach mis, if someone tells you that your friend died, asher, believe him and maintain that that's true. Is asher, if they tell you he became wealthy, loy tasher, then don't believe him, because that's something very unlikely. And as we see that play out over here in this halacha of a poor person, regarding if he dies, in contrast if he becomes wealthy. Now the Mishnah said, mace, that if the poor person or the Levi or the Kayan that took this loan from him, if he dies, so then essentially he's stuck, because as we said in the Mishnah, it's a difference. If you do it in the courts, fine, then you could collect from other people, from other paupers or Kahanim or Levim. But if it was done not in court, so if he dies, so now you can't collect from the loan that you had lent him instead of giving him the Maaser Ani or the Maaser Rishon or the Truma because he's not alive. So then the Mishnah said, Tzarech Litl Rishus. So you have to take permission from his inheritors that, look, you know, instead, you know, your father owed me this money. Instead of me giving him this Truma and Maaser, you're taking his place. So then you take the place and let me hold on to it instead of giving it to you, instead of giving you the Truma, instead of giving the Maaser, and so on. Now, V'chulu, etc., which is that the Mishnah said, but if this is done in the courts, meaning when the loan happened, then he doesn't have to consult and get permission from the inheritors. He could hold on to it. As we said, this is the Kanda of Beis Din, that all the other Kahanim and Levim and poor people would agree to it, that even if that guy is not alive, you could hold on to it for the loan that you did for him. Now, Tanya learned the Braisa that clarifies this halacha. Rabbi Yomer, he says, Yershin, this that we spoke about, inheritors, is specifically Sheyarshu, our inheritors that inherit. Now, as Taisa explains, meaning, when there are inheritors, then he could be mafresh, the trumas and maestros and the maestro on the end, hold on to it, in them taking the place of their father. But if they wouldn't inherit their father, as we'll shortly see, what does it mean that you have inheritors and not inheriting their father? If they wouldn't, then he can't use them to be mafresh on them. Now, Taisa explains that this qualification of Rebbe is going on the seifa of the Mishnah, which, as we mentioned in the Svechulu, that the Mishnah said, if the loan was in front of the courts, the Mishnah said, "Ein tzarach litl rishus min hayershin." Then he doesn't have to take permission from the inheritors. That's what Rebbe is coming to qualify. Which yershim are we talking about? Yershim that inherit. But as Taisvis, the reisha of the Mishnah, which is the part of this of the Mishnah that our Gemara is quoting, that says that if he died, you have to take rishus from the yershim. Says Taisvis, that wouldn't be what Rebbe is qualifying, because to the contrary, that would be a kolshkein if they don't inherit him, that for sure you need to take permission from them, because it's not incumbent upon them to pay their father's debts, because they're not inheriting him. It's only when they inherit from the father they have to. So therefore must be, explains Taisus, that Rebbe's qualification of when we're talking about when it's in the court that you don't have to take permission from the Yerushim, we mean the Yerushim that inherit. Now, ask the Gemara, Umiyaka Yerushim de Liarti, what does that mean? Are there inheritors that don't inherit? So Elam Rabbi Yechanan, rather Rabbi Yechanan explains, what Rebbe is trying to say is, it's only talking about inheritors that sheyershu karka, that inherit land, which such inheritors is incumbent upon them, there's a mitzvah for them at least, to pay back their father's loan in general. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that although generally there's a mitzvah for them to pay up, but here they don't have to, here he doesn't have to get their permission, because it was done in courts. But v'loy sheyershu kesafim. But what Rebbe's coming to exclude is, it's not talking about inheritors that inherit just money. It has to be specifically land. Because by land is something that then they're taking their father's place of the obligation to pay up his debts. That's what the Sefer of the Mishnah is saying, that although that they take the father's place, and seemingly he would have to get their permission, he doesn't have to get the permission because it was done in court. Now, Amr B'Yenison, he qualifies this halach of Rebbe, that hanich maloi machat, if the father left over a land the size of a needle, which Rashi explains, meaning to say if he left over a very small piece of land, then gave him maloi machat, then although he doesn't have to get permission from the Yarshin, but because he did this in court, but it's only that as if that guy is still alive. In other words, he could only now collect the amount that's in the property of the inheritors, that much land that he left over that they have, that's how much he could collect for the loan that he made for the father. In other words, the father owes him the money, but he said, I'm not going to collect from you, I'm going to collect from the Trumas and Maisers. But it's only that as if he would be able to collect from him, which depends on how much land he has. Now, therefore, if he leaves over a small amount of land, well, then you could only collect a small amount of land from what would technically be considered the Yershin, and you don't need their permission. Malay Karadim, if he leaves over a land the size of an axe, meaning what that means is a large amount of land, then give him Malay Karadim, and you could collect a large amount of land. It depends how much he left over for the chazakah of the Yershim, who the Yershim have that obligation of paying up the father's loan. That's his whole right of collecting from the father through his own Trumas and Maisers. It's only how much he would be able to collect from his inheritors, which it's their mitzvah to pay up, which how much land do they have? That's how much he could collect. But more than that, he wouldn't be able to collect from the loan that is owed to him from his own Trumas and Maisers. Now, Rabbi Yechanan Amar, he says no. He says, even if it's a small piece of land that was left over by the Yarshim, gave him a loy kardim, he could still collect his whole entire loan. The reason being is because technically, even though a small amount of land was left over, he could collect from that small amount of land. Then when they pay that up and they take back the land, he could go back and collect from that land again and again and again and again. Because every time they're paying him up, but then there's still land, which are nechasim shesh lemachrayish, that he could go ahead and collect from the father again. So therefore, he could end up collecting all of that debt, technically, even though there's a small amount of land, from his own trumas and maisers. Ukamaisin dekatina dabaya, like we have with the halacha that was this katina by Abaya, which as the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Tzadi Alf and Beis explains, where there was someone that owed someone 100 zuz. Now the guy died. He left over a katina that was worth 50. So the creditor came and collected that at least. Let me at least get from the land that this guy owed me, which is 50 zuz. Now the orphans came and paid him up to 50 because they wanted to hold on to that katina. Then he went and collected again from them, which is then the remaining 50. And that was allowed because he owes me land. Now, when you buy it back, it's again, it's your father's land. So then he could collect that way. So that's what Rabbi Yechanan is saying, that no. The inheritors that take the place of the father, which again, Rebbe qualified as only Yerushim Sheyarshu, which we explained means to say that they inherit land from him, that they're the only people that have the obligation of paying up the father's debt. Then that is what we're saying. And again, as Taisus explains, this would obviously be in disagreement with the opinions mentioned on Ahmed Aleph, where we're saying that even though this was in court, still it has to be going based on the inheritors themselves. You can't just collect from the whole entire tribe, from the whole entire Shevet. But that's what the argument is in the Gemara. Now, how much do you say that they would have a mitzvah to pay up the father's debt? Is it according to how much land they have? and that's how much you could now collect from your own instead of collecting from them because they're taking his place. Or even if they leave a small amount of land, that's how much they have, you could collect all of it because technically you'd be able to collect the land, they would pay it up, you collect, they pay up, you collect, pay up, and you'd be able to get the whole thing. So therefore you could collect all of the loan from your own trumas and maisus. Now the Gemara continues, Tanya Rabban, we learn the Braisa. And the Gemara is going to explain the whole Braisa, exactly what's the halachic interpretation. The Braisa says, Yisrael sha'amal Levi, if it's a non-Kohen, Yisrael, says to a Levi, Maiser yesh lecha biyadi. There's Maiser that you have that's in my possession, which seemingly this what it means to say is that I already separated from my produce for your purposes, Maiser Rishon, so I have your Maiser Rishon by me. Says the Braisa, Ein Chayshin L'Trumas Maiser Shaboy. You don't have to be concerned that in that Maiser Rishon there is also Trumas Maiser inside of that, because generally when you give Maiser Rishon to a Levi, he then has to take a tenth from that tenth and give that to a Kohen. You don't have to be suspect that there, inside that Maiser Rishon is Trumas Maiser. But if he tells him, Kor Maiser Yesh L'Cha B'Yad, he tells him a specific measurement of a Kor, of Maiser, he tells the Levi, you have by me, Chayshin L'Trumas Maiser Shaboy, then we have to be suspect that in that car of Meiser has Trumas Meiser mixed in over there, and you wouldn't be able to just consume that Meiser. Inside, you would have to first separate the Trumas Meiser. That's what the Braisa says. Ask the Gemara, my Ka'ama. What is the Braisa saying? What's the understanding? Why, when he just says plain that I have Meiser by you, we don't assume this Trumas Meiser? When he says Kor Meiser, then suddenly we suspect that inside this Trumas Meiser? So Amma Bai Abai says, Hachikama. This is the way you have to read the Braisa. Yisrael sha'amar l'levi, when Yisrael tells a levi, Maiser yesh l'cha biyad, he says, look, I have my produce, I'm finishing it all up, I'm giving off my trumas, maisus, maiser sheni, and I have a tenth of my produce that I'm ready to give you. You're the levi. But, v'heilich damav, here, sell me the maiser rishon. Here's the money that's for a tenth of my produce, and you take the money, and I'll hold on to the maiser rishon. Says the Braisa, Ein Cheshishin. What does that mean? The Yisrael does not have to be concerned, the one who owns the produce, that Shema, that maybe that after he sells this to the Levi, that maybe Asoi, maybe the Levi made this Maiserishin into Trumas Maiser al Mokam Acher, that maybe the Levi, who essentially was his Maiserishin, and now he's, quote, like selling it back to the homeowner, we don't have to be concerned that maybe he, since it was his Maiser Rishon for that time during the sale, that maybe he actually made that Maiser into his Trumas Maiser for other Maiser that he has by himself. Now, the reason being is because why don't we have to suspect that? Meaning, in other words, it was his Maiser. Now, the Levi has to support himself. So he gets from a whole bunch of people Maiser, 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 Maiser. Now, from all his Maiser, he has to take over a tenth and give that to a Kohen. Maybe what he did, a little tricky, he says when he bought the Meiser, when he got the Meiser Rishon from that homeowner before he sold it back, he said, you know what? That Meiser Rishon that I'm selling back to him, I'm going to make it all of my Trumas Meiser. Which, let's say he was selling him 100 bushels and he has 1,000 bushels in his house. He says, oh, 100 is a tenth of that 1,000 that I have. Let that be a tenth that I have to give to the Kohen. And that's what he gives back to that guy. Now, you don't have to suspect that. The reason being is because since the Levi doesn't know how much that Yisrael has, because he just says, I have Meiser for you, so he can't make it into Trumas Meiser. And therefore, he couldn't make that calculation, and therefore, we don't have to suspect he made it into Trumas Meiser. But, says Abaye in the explanation of the Braisa, if he tells him, Kor Meiser yesh l'cha biyadi v'heilich damav, he says, look, this specific amount of Meiser I have for you, and here's the money for it. Oh, then it would be forbidden for the Yisrael to eat at all from that Maiser Rishon that he's buying back from that Levi. Even, as Rashi explains, even if he separates his own Trumas Maiser for the Kohen, according to the calculation of the Kor of Maiser Rishon that there is over there, because Cheshish and Shema, you have to be suspected maybe that after the Levi got the monies of the Maiser Rishon that he's selling back to this guy, maybe Asoi Trumas Maiser Amokam Acher, maybe he made that Maiser Rishon into his Trumas Maiser, which belongs only to a Kohen, for the rest of his Maiser that he has at home. Where if he has 9 kor in his house, so now a tenth of that, which is totally considered tevel for Trumas Maiser, now he's going to say, I'm going to make that, what I'm selling back to him, into my Trumas Maiser. Now the explanation of this is, is because since he never did Meshicha, he never ultimately drew and did a kinyan on that Maaser Rishon from that Yisrael to himself. So since, as we explained this halacha before regarding transactions, that both ends have to be done, so the Levi could retract. Now, this is actually, as Rashi explains, even when it's in the domain already of the Yisrael, still it doesn't make a difference. The money that was paid to the Levi does not acquire it for him yet. Because when did the Levi acquire it, that we're saying that the Yisrael could acquire it when the Levi got money, but he never did the other part of the transaction, which is to take the Maaser from him to give it back to him. So therefore, when he reneges on this, even though he has the money, and he makes it into Trumas Maaser, it actually takes effect, and it becomes Trumas Maaser. Because halachically, it's like his Maaser Rishon, and he never did the other half to be considerate that it's a done deal and that he can't retract. He could retract, so he can make that into Trumas Maaser. That's how Abaye explains this price, which the Gemara asks, Atu Bershiaskin, what are we dealing with, wicked people? The Shakli Demei, the way you're painting this Levi, he's taking money for that Maaser Rishon, but since there's a technical halachic loophole that technically he could retract on the deal, and therefore it is considered like the Levi's Maaser Rishon still, and therefore he could make it into Trumas Maaser. What? That's what the Braisa is coming to say for a wicked guy who's going to take the money and still dupe this guy and make it into his Trumas Maaser? Ella Amar Rav Mershar Shebereda of Idi, he gives a different interpretation. He says, Hachikam, this is what the Braisa is saying. Yisrael Shamala Ben Levi. A Yisrael who says to a Levi, Maaser la'avicha biyadi, your father has Maaser by me. What does that mean? Meaning when your father was still alive, I told him that I had certain Maasers that I wanted to give to a Levi, and I was going to give it to him. Now he's not around anymore. Now, so what I want to do with you is, hey lechdamav, here, take the monetary value of that Maaser Rishon, let me hold on to it. Says the Braisa, ein cheshesh in shema asu aviv, Trumas Maaser Makamach. We don't have to suspect, because I told your father, and essentially it was his Maaser Rishon, we don't have to suspect that the father knew, I have Maaser by this guy, but I didn't collect it yet, but I have all this other Maaser. Let me make that into Trumas Maaser. We don't have to suspect that. And the reason being is because he didn't know how much Maaser. The guy didn't say how much it was, so he couldn't make it into the Trumas Maaser. But Kor Maaser Lavicha Beyadiv Helech Dama, but if the Yisrael tells to the Levi that, look, I told your father there's a Kor of Maaser for him, and here, I want to redeem it by you. Here, you take the money and hold on to the Maaser Rishon. Cheshen Shema Aso of Trumas Maaser Makamacher. That's what the Braisa is telling, that that's not a good acquisition for this Yisrael. Because we have to be concerned, since his father knew how much Maaser Rishon he had by him, maybe he said, I'll just consider that Trumas Maaser, and if he ever does give it to me, I'll give it totally to the Kohen. So therefore, the Yisrael, he's not going to be able to do anything with this if he's going to redeem it and pay up the Levi for it, because it might be totally Trumas Maaser and he can't eat it. It has to go only to a Kohen. That's the second interpretation of this price. To which the Gemara asks, what? Do we suspect people that are sincere in halacha, which assumedly that's what the case is with this Levi that he's giving it to suspect him that he took off Trumas Maaser not near his Maaser itself? In other words, because it's a halacha that's brought himself this Bayat Avlam Abayz and Abayz, that it's forbidden for a chaver, for a Talmud Chacham, for someone that's adherent to halacha, to say, oh, the produce that I have in that place should be the truma for the produce I have over here. Now, that's not appropriate. And the reason being is because maybe that moment, it's not around anymore. But look, if he does it, it's valid, but you're not supposed to do that. So therefore, ask the Gemara, how can you interpret the Braisa that he shouldn't buy it from the son? Because maybe the father that he told he has it for, this Kor of Maaser, made it in Trumas Maaser, but we don't suspect that a guy would be making his Trumas Maaser in this guy's house for the Maaser that he has in his own house, which is not Mukav, it's not near each other. So Ella Amar Ravashi, rather Ravashi gives a different interpretation. He says, Hachikama, this is what the Braisa is saying. Ben Yisrael Sh'omel Levi. If Yisrael tells a Levi, Kach Amr Li Abba, this is what father told me before he died. Maaser Lecha B'Yadi, he told me that there's Maaser that we owe you. Oy Maaser La'Avicha B'Yadi, or that we owed your father Maaser. That's what the Braisa says, Cheshishin, that this Levi has to suspect L'Trumas Maaser Shabai, that maybe this Maaser Rishon that this guy said, look, my father said we owe you this Maaser, that maybe that there's still Trumas Meiser inside over here that has to be separated. Now, this chiddush is that although there's a chazaka, that regarding a chaver, a tamachacha, meaning who the balabai, someone that's adherent to halacha, which obviously he is, because before he died, he said, told his son, I just want you to know that we owe this guy, this levi, or that his father, Meiser, although we would assume that he wouldn't pass on from this world until he would make sure all his produce is properly tithed and not tevel, but we do have to be concerned that kiven delay kids, since it wasn't a set amount, in other words, since when he was on his deathbed and he was telling his son, I just want you to know, we have Maiserishin for this guy, he didn't mention a certain amount, maybe he didn't know how much Maiserishin there actually was, so lahava mesakin lebalabai, so that's why the homeowner, the father who passed away, maybe we have to suspect that maybe he didn't separate the Trumas Maiser because it seems like he didn't know how much Maiserishin there was, so he can't take a tenth of that tenth if he doesn't know how much there is over there. But kor Maiser l'chabayadi, but when this Yisrael says that my father told me that there's a kor of Maiser that we owe you, a kor Maiser l'avicha b'yadi, or there's a kor of Maiser that we owe your father as a Levi, that's what the Brice is saying, ein cheshen l'Trumas Maiser shabay, we don't have to suspect that in this Maiserishin that he wants to give to the Levi, that there's also a Trumas of Maiser inside over there. And the reason being is because, as we said before, a Yisrael that's inherent to Halacha, we assume that he fixed it before he died, even though it's not incumbent upon him, because that's what a person wants to make sure, he doesn't leave anything inappropriate as before he passes on or in general. Now here, Kivin the kids, since it was a set amount, he told them it's a kor of Maiserishin, Takuni Takni Balabais, there we could assume that the homeowner who passed away had already separated Trumas Meiser, and therefore he could give it to the Levi, and Levi wouldn't even have to separate Trumas Meiser from the Meiser region. Now, the Gemara asks, regarding this third interpretation, the first two interpretations we had questions, this one seems like an appropriate interpretation, but the Gemara asks, V'chi yesh li reshus labalabais litrim Trumas Meiser? Although you're making it sound like that a chaver, someone that's responsible in halacha, would not leave over this Maiserishin without fixing it and even taking off the Trumas Maiser before he even gives it to the Levi. But then the Gemara asks, can he even do that? But the problem is, the Maiser is owned by the Levi. And seemingly you would run into the problem what's called Terem Shel Amidas. You can't take up Truma from someone else's things without his knowledge. That's his right, it's his Maiser. The Levi from his tenth has to give off a tithe to the Kohen. How can you say that the homeowner, and that's why the Levi could hold on to this Maiserishin without giving Trumas Maiser, that he would have taken it off the Trumas Maiser from the Maiserishin before giving it to the Levi. So I think my answer is in yes, no, actually, the Balabais could take off the Trumas Maiser from the Maiserishin even before he gives it to the Levi. As the Gemara explains, because Abba Elazar ben Gamla, it's going like Abba Elazar ben Gamla, to tell like learn the Braisa. Abba Elazar ben Gamla, he says, the Pasuk Mamidbar says, V'nechshev lechem termaskam, that this will be considered for you, your truma, which as the pasuk there continues, as the Marshal adds on these words, kedogim min hagarin v'gomer, as is the grain from the granary. Now, as the Gemara continues, the top of Lamed Alf Med Aleph, so he explains, b'shtei trumas hakasim adaber, the pasuk is talking about two different trumas. Now, moreover, this pasuk is talking about the levim, where it's talking about that a levi has, There's two trumas over there. What are these two trumas? So, because it says trumaschem, so explains the Gemara, achas truma gedayla v'achas trumas meiser. One is a reference to truma gedayla, which is the truma that's given to the kohen straight from the Yisrael. And there's also trumas meiser, which is the truma that's given from the Levi, from his tithe, he gives a tithe to the kohen. Now, where do you see these two trumas in the pasuk? So, trumaschem is the truma of Meiser, meaning it's talking to the Levium, your Truma, which is the Levi has to give his own Truma to the Kain, which is what's called Trumas Meiser. Now, but the Pasuk also adds on that your Truma, Trumaschem, is Kedogim min Agurin, is the same as the grain from the granary. Now, what's that a reference to? What's it comparing it to? To Truma Gedayla, which is the Truma that the Yisrael homeowner gives straight, approximately 1/50th, to the Kain. So what we're saying is, because that's what the Reishis HaDagon is, that Yisrael is mafresh from his own granary, so the Pasuk is equating Trumas Meiser, that the Levi himself, who the Pasuk is addressing, separates to the Kain, to Truma Gedayla, that the Yisrael separates and gives to the Kain. What's the comparison? Says the Braisa, Hashem Shem Truma Gedayla Nitalis Ba'imid, just like the Truma Gedayla, the regular Truma, that goes to the Kain, could be given as an estimate, because although Chacham tell us you give 1/50th to the Kohen, that you could estimate as 1/50th. Because actually, if you err and you don't give exactly 1/50th, there's no Isser, because actually, biblically, you could take just one kernel of wheat, and that will exempt the whole pile, according to biblical halacha, because the Torah doesn't give you a shira, just as reishis degaincha. The first of your grain you have to give to the Kohen could be even just one kernel of wheat. So therefore, even though rabbinically we say 1/50th, but you could estimate it. Moreover, Truma Gedayla could be taken ubimachshava, just with thought. What does that mean? It means that you could look at your pile of grain, and you could look on one side and think, I want that to be Truma, and then you could eat from the other side, even though you didn't take off Trumas and Maises, meaning up until you take off Truma, it's considered Tevel, you could make it not Tevel anymore, as if you separated by just looking, just with machshava. So says the Braisa, Kach Trumas Maises, the same thing applies to Trumas Maises, where although its amount is set in the Torah, that it has to be a tenth from the tenth, it's not just any amount, still, nitelis ba'aymet, it can be taken as an estimate, ubimachshava, and with thought. Now, actually, regarding the halach of thought, that doesn't have to be learned from Truma Gedoyla, because when the Pasuk says v'nechshav, lachem trumaschem, the word v'nechshav is what teaches us that machshav itself works. And that's going on both, which are mentioned in the Pasuk, which is Truma Gedoyla and Trumas Maaser. But what we do learn Trumas Maaser from Truma Gedoyla is regarding the oimid, regarding estimating, that even though seemingly you would have to give exactly a tenth, but that's what we learned from Truma Gedayla, that you could estimate the tenth from the tenth. Now, but what's important is the other way around too. Just like it's permitted for the homeowner, which is, that's the generic halacha, that he separates the Truma Gedayla. So we learned that from this comparison of Truma's Maisa to Truma Gedayla. Kach yesh l'rishus labala bayis, lichem Truma's Maisa. From the comparison of these two halachas, we learn that not only could the homeowner separate Truma Gedayla, he could also separate the Trumas Meiser. And again, therefore, that answers the Gemara's question that yes, we would assume that this guy who passed away, who's a chaver, that's responsible with halacha, that not only did he separate the Meiser Rishon for the Levi, but he had also separated the Trumas Meiser from it going in, because he's allowed to do that, as we learned from the Pasuk, which compares Truma Gedayla to Trumas Meiser, which the homeowner obviously does Truma Gedayla, he could also do Trumas Meiser without the Levi's knowledge.